Welcome to episode 17 of Once Upon a Captain Swan. I'm your host, Sarah, and with me today is the full squad. We have J-Mo,
Hello.
Kimberly,
Hi.
Lindsay,
Hello.
Rachel,
Hi.
Justine,
Hello.
Gabrielle,
Hola.
and Jenna from the UK.
Hello.
So today we are going to continue our Once Upon a Q&A from last week because we still have a crap ton of questions to go through. But first, we're going to start out with a little bit of discussion on past episode 605, Street Rats. I have a lot of feelings about this episode, and I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, I know. I'm
Oh
seeing your tweets.
My biggest problem is that they need to talk and get their shit together, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of like the fact that there has been no serious discussion at all about anything that went down. Like that dock scene, that is not what we needed. That is what they felt like we wanted, but that's not what we needed. And I'm
And not
tired
what
of
we
them
want.
holding off on the discussion of all this bullshit.
I
Feel exact
think,
same way.
yeah,
Yeah,
I
I
do
can
too.
feel, I can understand that, yeah. Because
But
it
I.
feels like they haven't, none of these characters have had like a serious conversation with each other about anything that's happened in like the past like three seasons.
They all need a group discussion with Archie, is what they need.
They all
They
need to
need
go to group therapy.
yeah, I was gonna say like an AA meeting kind of, but like not alcoholism. Like our town gets fucked over all the time by villains meeting, like, and we need to deal with it with our emotions and the things that happen afterwards. But I
No.
think they're saving the whole conversation to make it like all come to like one huge thing, and they're letting it all build up because
Yeah.
I think they're gonna cause drama for the sake of causing drama between them.
Yeah.
What did I fucking text you last
You
week?
did. You did tell me that.
I was just like, I'm so fucking over this right now because there was no content. I am with Sarah on this
No,
100%.
I
I
feel so confused because the other shoe put me in such a.
Yes. The other shoe was a great
It
episode.
changed
Yeah. The shoe was
everything,
the best.
and then ever since then, it's done a complete 180. And so I'm so confused because I don't know how to
Who
feel at
wrote the
this
other
point.
shoe?
Jane.
Jane.
That would be why
And that's not good. Like, when you
then.
can
No.
tell from watching a show that there are different writers, you're
Yeah,
doing
no.
something wrong.
They
Yeah,
should all,
exactly.
yeah. They should
It should
all,
be
like, even
one
though it's.
whole cohesive thing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like. Because even though someone writes it, it should be discussed between all of them, really, like, just to make
Yeah.
sure that it's all, like, tying in together and fitting in well and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I am looking forward to next week's because it being a Hook-centric episode, and I have been
Yeah.
waiting for, like, a bit more of a Hook backstory. That is one thing I do want to see. But,
And this
like,
does feed
I do
into
agree, though. It's like the CS scenes this season mainly have just been so empty. Like, there's been no real
development.
oomph
Yeah.
there, you know? It's just been like, yeah, I don't know. It's just felt a bit off.
And the one
With the
thing
exception of the other shoe. Yeah,
that
Matt.
we were looking forward to was the moving in together, and
Yeah, still
we
from the show they
we've
did.
been robbed from it. They're not giving
Yeah.
it to us because it's already
Nope.
happened.
Yeah, they skipped it. That's why I hated Dock Scene too, because it's like I felt like we skipped a step. It
Yeah.
was ridiculous.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
Because.
even when they are in scenes together, they don't talk. Like, it's not like
Exactly.
I
Like,
know
Killian
obviously they
got.
can't talk to each other all the time, but at the same time, like, there's so much conversation there that has not been had, especially just from last season. Like, we still never got a, hey, let's deal with all the shit we said to each other last season. You know, the fact that like you died, like nothing
Yeah.
has. I don't know. I need more depth to their conversations.
Yeah, it just feels like last episode, like Killian didn't get to say
Anything.
anything.
Yeah. He was just
But
stood
like
there in
Brienne, you don't
silence.
know,
It was
said anything
awful. It
great
was.
about not being in Emma's vision. Like that to me was just like, what?
Yeah.
Why do we care about like Regina being mad about not being in Emma's vision? Like,
Exactly.
why should we care about that?
Why does she get to talk to everybody, Henry, Regina, Snow, about the problem, but not Killian?
I gotta say, Colin was fucking amazing in this episode, despite having no content. You could
Yes.
see
You could see it in his
everything
eyes.
on his
Yeah.
face.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was upsetting because it's upset. It's like I can understand Killian's reaction about kind of going inward and not speaking and stuff, but the bit that was upsetting was the fact that Emma didn't go to him and try and talk to him.
Nope.
It's like
That
it's
was
like
not a conversation for a group setting like that. She should have pulled him
Yeah.
aside and said, "This is what I want to do. How do you feel about this?"
I feel like she should have talked to him about it before talking to everyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no wonder the fact that they weren't discussing anything that he decided to keep the scissors.
I would have been pissed off if he hadn't kept the scissors, to be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He 100% is in the right to keep the scissors.
I don't understand why people are building this up as this big betrayal. Because it's not like Killian's going to just secretly use them like while Emma's asleep or something. He's keeping them to keep her options open.
Yeah. Like,
she didn't give him a choice. She didn't give him a choice.
If he would have got rid of him, then she probably would have regretted it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think he could ever stomach losing her again. And I don't, I think she would understand and forgive him if he did.
Yeah.
Well, she'd have to because she did exactly the same thing to him.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
this is
so
the exact
I feel
situation
like
situation just reversed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, one positive I did like about this episode is we got that really beautiful Swan Believer scene.
Yes.
I was a mess.
Yes.
I was sobbing.
Yes. Absolutely.
I was disgustingness.
That and the scene with him and Jasmine as well. Like, I thought the two correlated
love
really
yeah,
well
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because Henry's just kind of been there lately. Like, he hasn't really, like, and I know he can't, like, really do stuff because he's still a kid, but at the same time, like, he was such a heavy part of, like, the earlier seasons, and now he's
yeah.
just kind of like, oh, I want to be
there.
A hero. Like, let him do
I know,
something.
It's like, I feel like Henry did more in the, like, early seasons than he's doing now,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like as a young man, he has that capability of doing more, so I get mad that they don't have him do more, because I'm like, bitch, he did more when he was, like, 10 than he's doing right now!
The reason
he
you
was
all
a
are
more independent
right now
kid
when
he
Henry.
Was 10,
yeah.
now he's just this neutered little mama's boy.
But he also has such a significant role, he's the author. Like, please explore that a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me a Henry
or maybe,
arc or something. Jesus.
Another
maybe
one another
Jared
one of
has
your
like life.
And not something stupid like I'm gonna destroy magic. I feel like this whole season has just kind of been like a kind of a clusterfuck of stuff of things
yeah.
that they don't know what they're doing with, and I'm just kinda like, well, let's just put this together. So until they give us a big twist or something that makes sense, I just feel like they're just kinda like puttering along like three blind mice just like trying to find the cheese and no one
it
knows
feels
where it is.
Like this is the same thing that they had in season 4 where they had all like these kind of half-baked ideas that they just threw into one season and were like, we'll figure it out as it goes.
And yeah. they don't ever figure
see,
it out.
See, Rachel, they're saving three blind mice for 6B.
It's really clear that like they just it doesn't feel like they have a clear
vision.
Okay, it feels like they have a clear beginning and a clear ending to this arc, but now they're just like, I don't know what to do with all this middle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So now we get these weird scenes of like the evil queen and Zelina talking about how much they want to suck Rumpelstiltskin's dick, which is like I did not ask for. I don't
yeah,
think anyone
all I have
asked
is a visual
this.
Of the glittery cum. Why would you do that? Why would you do that to me?
I'm very sorry.
Slanty
oh,
crocodile.
But seriously, like, what? Did that scene have? Why did that scene need to be there other than, like, a scene of, like, not Regina, of Emma and Killian talking about their issues?
Exactly, exactly.
There was no need.
I literally commented, like, the other day on a post. I was just saying, like, no one ever talks to each other in once. It's like they've taken it too far. It's like they've really taken it too far. It's like, yeah, in the first season, there were some secrets and hiding stuff and stuff. But it's like, literally no one talks to each other anymore. It's like everyone's just in their own head. And it just isn't working. Like, they need to have conversations.
This has
and
been a
Snow's line about, oh, we never keep secrets from each other.
Oh, shit!
Okay, Snow.
That was
like, yeah,
funny.
I'm flat-chested, okay?
Like, I'm a natural redhead.
I have three arms.
I don't drink.
Lindsay wins.
Lindsay winner.
Oh, yeah.
That was cathartic. Yeah.
I feel a lot better now.
Do we? Yeah. Do we feel better? I don't know if I feel better, but
I mean, I can still go on about stuff.
What about Aladdin and Jasmine? That was like the other half of this episode. Mm-hmm.
I really like that they paralleled them to Captain Swan.
Yeah.
That Tallahassee parallels
when you know, like, you're at like main couple status is when you have other couples being paralleled to you.
Boop, boop.
And so I'm a big fan of Karen David. I think she's knocking it out of the park as Jasmine.
Karen played.
That outfit.
Her
costume is fucking
beautiful.
Jasmine costume was like blowing my mind.
Yeah,
it was gorgeous.
So gorgeous.
That's honestly one of my favorite costumes that Once has ever done.
Same.
Mm-hmm. Sarah wants it.
I need that cloak. So
that
bad.
That cloak was everything.
Aladdin was pretty.
Yeah,
he was gorgeous.
Pretty...
He was gorgeous. Despite the
accent. Can I ride his magic carpet?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think.
Rub his lamp. I want to rub his lamp.
And like Jafar, brilliant.
Oh, I love him.
Jafar is brilliant. He's Odette not getting out of the park. I'm really excited for him, actually.
Am I the only person that thinks that Jafar is bullshitting this entire savior prophecy?
Oh, of course. I wouldn't be surprised.
I didn't think about that.
Maybe, like, Emma getting stabbed is like, what if dream sequence?
Like, I think he can have control over Iago. I think that these visions that have been shown to Aladdin and Emma are fabricated. Because I think Jafar wants that power for whatever grand scheme he has. He either wants the power or he wants saviors eliminated because of his ultimate goal.
Or what if it's like
what he does in the movie where he's like, I want ultimate cosmic power.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to be leaving space.
He wants the ultimate cosmic power, Ray. But without the
so if anything, that is the one positive thing I have about this season so far is that I in no way believe that Emma is in danger of dying.
One positive thing that I can say is Karen Davis I was trying to make it sound eloquent, but Colin can fucking juggle oranges, and dear God, bless Karen for sharing
bless
those.
Karen.
Just
I
bless
love Karen so much.
Again,
I also really love that Swan Believer scene was beautiful.
It was.
That was a really wonderful scene. Well, now that we thoroughly bummed everyone else out with our negativity.
Yes. It's been 16 episodes. We're allowed to have a little bit of negativity. It was building up to this. It was time.
It's like a negativity zit. We just had to pop it and let it all out.
Oh, good analogy. Now all I'm thinking is Animal House. Just, God damn it.
Zit. Get it?
Yeah, the zit. Get it?
All right, so let's move on to our Q&A from this week, and we'll see how far we get before we run out of time again.
Yeah.
All right, Caitlin asks, this is a non-Once Upon a Time question. What was your first internet handle or username, like from back in AIM LiveJournal days?
Oh,
that's what the other one was. I didn't know what that was.
LiveJournal.
Okay. Mine was, and actually I currently still use it sometimes for things. mine is the anti-Joss, Joss being Joss Whedon.
Yeah!
And here's why. Because he broke up Buffy and Angel and it ruined my life.
Yes! OMG, Sarah.
And to this
oh my
day,
gosh.
I have not forgiven him for it.
I stopped watching the show after that.
Never forgiven him for it, and I still have problems with his current work because of that. Like, I have problems going out and watching his projects because of that hatred and that resentment I hold towards him.
You broke him again.
I'm laughing because it's fucking true. God damn it, Joss.
Still bitter.
So bitter.
Okay, that's
Y'all
my embarrassing story.
You're going to laugh your ass off at me. This is going to be really fucking embarrassing. So, when I was younger, I was huge into wrestling, like WWE in general. And my favorite wrestler, his name is Triple H. And so my very
My very first AIM name was WWE Girl Triple H. Nice.
As someone who also watched WWE, I can appreciate that.
So my AIM and my live journal were different, but I will embarrass myself and tell you both. My first IM AIM screen name was Racing Dreamer 52. Oh yeah. Kim was like really big into NASCAR when she was a kid. Like my entire wall was like Dale Earnhardt Jr. shit, like no lie. So that was my AIM screen name, but my live journal name was ECO Nyx 52, which, spoiler alert, is from Band of Brothers, my very first fandom. So
nice.
I don't know, I feel like we talked about this before, but that's where my love of Ian Bailey comes from, but it was the first community I was actually actively a part of, and I actually still have friends from the Bob community, which is kind of crazy to think about, because that was like 16 years ago. Horrifying that I'm dating myself that far back, but anyways, so there you go, that was Kim on Life Journal. I think it's still active, but I don't think anything good's on it, so sorry about that, guys.
So mine, like, we didn't really have like MSN or anything. I tended to like use like MSN, and so mine was Pink Shiny Star. I don't like pink, and you know, I don't understand why, but you know, I was like 12 or 13 or something, and you know, it's just, I don't know. I wish I could tell you the reason why. There's no, I just think, I don't know. I just don't know. I really don't. So that's my embarrassing user ID.
So this is gonna get real embarrassing. So I made my first AIM screen name when I think I was 11 years old.
Oh dear.
And oh yeah. Oh, it's bad. My two friends, Berlin and Cypress, were over, and they were visiting from Orange County because like our moms were friends, so we became friends because that's how you do. And so I think we were on, and Berlin, who was a little bit older than me, I think she was 11 at the time, was like, oh, you don't have AIM yet? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know what that is. I'm 9. And so we made one, and she's like, all right, what do you want your account thing to be? And I was like, I don't know, like, what do people use? And so she used her dog's name, so I used my dog's name. And then I was 9, so 9 was in there. And then my favorite number was 11. And so my screen name for a long time was Pompey 911. And yeah. So our dog's name was Pompelona. But that's a mouthful for a little kid, so I just called her Pompey all the time.
That's actually like a nickname for like Portsmouth fans, like they're called like Pompey fans. That's what like soccer, as you guys call it. So you'd be calling yourself a Portsmouth fan.
I just remembered I was a proper Star Wars nerd.
Yes.
And my best friend was as well, and this was when we were about 13. So I decided to call myself City Sucker. Darth Sidious. We shortened to City. And then she was Padme Lover and I was City Sucker, and we just ripped into each other all the time, and it was just amazing. It was so funny.
Oh my God, I'm dying. That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
That's like, That's what 13-year-olds do when they like decide, they realize what a blowjob is. They decide that they're gonna call themselves City Sucker because it's so mature. Oh God.
This is the wake of Breaking Kim.
All of that. The thirst started very young in me, and it never left.
Strong in this one.
Yes. May the first be with you.
Yes!
First internet user handle name. Oh, fuck. It was definitely something Orlando Bloom related. It was when the first Pirates of the Caribbean came out, and I got a YouTube account and like a whatever else was out there account. And yeah, it was, I think it was like Orlando Love or something. I don't know. Definitely Orlando.
Did you have a GeoCities webpage dedicated to him?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I did not. I don't know what that is. I didn't have that.
Oh, but
Oh, are we that old? Damn.
We are, Sarah.
Sorry.
We've reached that point.
Remember, we're with the itty bitties right now, so.
All right, moving on. Shanice asks, is there a line on the show that means something to you? And I'm going to keep it brief just because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Mine is from Belle, and it's, you don't get to decide what I do or how I feel, I do. It's one of
good
my
one.
Favorite
yeah,
lines
that's
on the
a really
show,
good one.
And it just speaks volumes, especially in my life. So, yes, that's what I'm picking.
I'm picking a man unwilling to fight for what he wants, deserves what he gets, because we hadn't been introduced to Killian Ferrari 10 minutes on his first episode, and that line has defined his character throughout the series.
Yeah,
very true.
I think I'm going to go with Emma's quote to Ashley about, I have not got the quote written down because I've been lazy.
Like, people are going to tell you who you are your whole life. You just got to punch back and say, no, this is who I am. Because that's mine.
Yeah. Because it's just
there it is.
Such a strong message in there. And I just feel like it really resonated with me because, you know, I think most people struggle as they grow up with worrying about what other people think about them, worrying about what they should be like rather than what they actually are like. And I think it's just such a good quote to be like, you know what, no, just you are who you are and, you know, be who you are. So yeah, I really like that one.
That's a good one. I'm gonna go with I'm a total romantic, BTW, and it's a David quote. True love isn't easy, but it must be fought for, because once you find it, it can never be replaced.
Aww, I do like that one. That's good.
So obviously because Jenna stole mine. Which,
you can use the same one.
Again,
yeah, we can
so
have the same
again,
one.
Yeah, again, like, you know, I can really like connect with Emma as a character. You know, I think we do. As she said, I mean, she said everything that I need to say. So
sorry.
Yeah, it's well done, Jenna, for saying. You know, we're so in sync. We're like as a podcast, so we're all in sync. And
we really
all...
are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, thumbs up.
I don't know. I love a lot of Emma quotes, and I know like the no, this is who I am quote is really popular, but I also really loved the I'm not nothing, I was never nothing quote.
I was waiting for that one.
That is just, I don't know, that just really hit me. I it got me through like my last semester of college, where I was really feeling down on myself. I was dealing with a lot of like anxiety and just about graduating and being just overworked and not sleeping. And so I just wasn't having a good time. But that quote just kind of reminded me that I'm like in college and I'm like gonna be a graduate. So that really helped.
Mm-hmm. I had that one, but I actually thought of something different. So I'm gonna say David's. Awesome. When he was talking to Emma, when she was, they were trying to get her to go see Neil for his lunch, their lunch or whatever, and he said, life's made up of moments, the good and bad, throughout the good and bad. I can't quote it correctly right now, but I really like that quote.
Aww. Daddy charming.
Yes.
Probably, see, whenever I think of lines from the show, the first thing that automatically comes to mind is when Emma's talking to Cinderella and she says, you need to punch back and say, no, this is who I am. Because I think that was kind of the first time we got a glimpse of Emma, and really she started like kind of opening up in a way. And I was like, I was just starting to watch, like I was binge watching the show. So I was finally like, I got to that scene. I was like, I'm here for this. I like her. I love her. She's precious. I must protect her. Like, and
as you would do.
Yeah, and I just love that line, because I've kind of had that where people kind of try to tell me what I need to do with my life or what path I need to take. And I'm like, nah, mm-mm. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, I relate to this. So, yeah.
Another question from Shanice is, do you have a character's line that just makes you laugh every time you think about it? Mine is Emma's, I don't have issues.
Yes.
Yes.
I know I've talked about it before, so I'm not going to actually elaborate on it, but yeah, that's mine.
Oh yeah, same with me. This is when we did our, you know, CS movie rewatch, you know, Rumpel, go read a book, whatever it is you'd like to do. It's my favorite damn line. I love it.
I think mine's actually a Rumpel quote as well. It's in the season 3 finale when they go back, Emma and Hook are in his castle. And Hook says, let's just say we buried the hatchet. And then Rumpel's like, yes, but why not in your skull? And I think that just, oh, every time, the way he says it, the way he says that, yes, bit as well.
Yes.
Colin's face also makes that scene.
Well, what are you doing?
Yes!
Alternately, what'd you call it? Yeah!
Yes!
What?
That's a new one.
What did you call it? There you go. Every time. And I hope that's my legacy from the podcast, is that anytime anyone watches those, they think of me.
I will.
I do every time. Someone said, what are you doing the other day, just in a normal voice in general conversation. And I just laughed. I was just like...
Damn it, Kim!
Lynn. So, I liked it when Killian said baloney.
Honestly, it sends me something called baloney.
Baloney. But I also liked it when Regina said, like, she came in, she was, I want a baby, and then like Rumpel's like, I'm sorry, but I'm not interested.
I don't know. I always laugh hysterically when Killian just so confidently goes, behold, the Rolly Jodger. He's just so confident in his wrong name.
I love it when Regina says to Robin, where you come from, people bathe in the river and use pine cones for money. Like, that's hilarious. I crack up every time she says that.
With Lady Tremaine's, like, last
two episodes ago.
I have a new favorite quote from her now. It's like, I've carried you around like a scab on my soul. And it's just like that was brilliant.
That like sounds Shakespearean almost.
I've carried rum barrels heavier than you.
Yes.
There's no
avoiding it.
Nope, that's it. That's the line. And all the Rumpel Stiltskin, like, Enchanted Forest Rumpel puns, like, his lines about, like, seeing the future and, like, roasted swan, and...
Yeah.
He's always so on point.
Tori asks, if you were a hot dog and you were starving, would you eat yourself?
Hey, I get this reference. It's from an old Will Ferrell sketch.
Mm. Okay. I didn't understand what the reference was.
He was being Harry Carey, like the old Cubs announcer. And he was just like, if you're starving, if you're a hot dog, you're starving, would you eat yourself? But I'm like, how can you fucking answer that? I don't want to eat my own body. No, even if I was a hot dog.
I fucking hate hot dogs. They're disgusting. I would not eat myself. Mm-mm. Nope, I'd starve.
What about turkey dogs, though? They're so good.
Oh, I don't like hot dogs. I think they're gross and slimy. And
I mean, do you either die from starvation or you die because you've eaten yourself? Like, there's no winning situation here.
Also, how would you eat yourself? Hot dogs don't have mouths.
That was exactly what I thought. I was like, I couldn't eat myself.
I was kind of thinking
it's not that I would eat myself. I just can't.
I was picturing like a cartoon hot dog, and I was like, yeah,
like that movie that just came out.
Slowly, I will.
Sausage party.
Yeah, sausage party is what I was imagining.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I just thought like if I had a heavy drinking sesh and needed to cut down and be a belly, I'd just eat my belly. That's all I put. I didn't really get the part of the question. So I was like, okay. I'll give a stupid question a stupid answer.
You're welcome for the record.
I did give this a bit of thought. I was like, well, maybe if I had like ketchup on me, I'd lick that off. Because then I wouldn't have to eat myself. It would just be like, you know, just licking a bit off me. And then like, technically, does the bun count as like...
part of your body?
Like, maybe
or is that just like clothes?
Yeah, like I was like, well, maybe I can eat the bun, and then I'm like not actually cannibalizing, like self.
You'd be naked though.
Yeah, but I'd rather be naked than eat myself.
What gone into this is beautiful.
This is like an existential crisis that I think we put ourselves in. I mean, you guys are asking like all these super important questions, and my answer was just. Fuck yes, a delicious way to go.
You know, Kim, like, I said, I guess so.
I was like, you guys are thinking about that. I don't have a mouth. Am I a bun? Am I cannibal? I was like, fuck, I love hot dogs. So yeah.
Why are you thinking so much? Like, don't think too much.
Yeah. Fucking delicious.
Yeah, you're asking me not to think too much.
I mean, true. That's hard. But you're asking like really good questions though. So now I'm like, I feel like a wiener because I'm just like, I didn't ask
no
any
pun intended.
Questions.
If it's a hot dog question, then you feel like a wiener. So
I know. Yeah. No pun intended on that one. But I do feel
right,
like a wiener.
Sure.
Wieners on the glass. Sorry.
All right. Another question from Tori. Which character besides Killian would you want to make out with for 1 minute?
All right.
I said Ooh. August.
Yes, bitch. Yes.
But then when we were discussing this, we said, okay, male or female? But yes, I agree, Sarah. August would be my number one because I'm a sucker for Ian. Female, Emma, obviously, because I would be all on that.
Right. Well, I wouldn't make out with Killian because I'm gay and... I appreciate his face, but when it comes to actually doing things with him, I think I'd have an issue with it. So I'm going to go with my number one person would be Emma. And my number two would be Ruby, because I've actually had a crush on Megan since I was about 18. So I think I'd have to go with Ruby as well.
Maybe Ruby also just looks like she would be an excellent kisser.
She does, yes. And I just have both of them, like, just together, you know.
Together.
I could start singing Two Ladies by Cabaret again. No, only joking.
Not today.
So I do the both ones, so I definitely said adult August. August for days.
You didn't say Dave?
Okay, so funnily enough, I have like a three-part answer. This is the one time that Kim has a three-part answer. So
okay,
I was like, let's get comfy. So I was gonna say, for just a rough makeout sesh, adult August. But for a sincere makeout sesh, David. We all know he's my type. So continuing on that thread, gingers are my hubris, so it would be Zelina.
Yeah.
Wow. Bro, so Kim has a three-part answer.
So for me, even though the characters are shit, I would kiss Arthur. You know what I would do? I would stare into his eyes for 30 seconds because he's got beautiful eyes.
Yes.
And then kiss him for the other 30. But then for like a woman, like obviously if we're gonna say like, you know, I would say Mulan because I love her.
Ooh.
And yeah.
I'm gonna do nothing to like break like the bisexuals or greedy stereotype, because I would just fucking make out with everyone on that show is attractive except for like Henry, because that's gross and also right. And it also not Robbie, because no. Or not Bobby, because no, he doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry, he just really doesn't. But yeah, literally everyone else, fair game.
It is a very attractive show. There are a lot of good-looking
people.
It
is, yeah.
It feels like it's a requirement. Like, are you hot? Are you way hotter than you need to be for this character? You're hired.
It's why people often question, like, oh, you're not watching for the plot. And it's like, oh, yes, sometimes that's the case.
Yeah. Like, I totally watch for plot and not for Jennifer Morrison's arms and Colin O'Donoghue's chest hair. I don't know what you're talking about.
And Josh Dallas's butt.
Train, Gabby. Oh, Josh Dallas's butt. Josh Dallas has like the best butt.
Sorry, anyway, Gabby. Come on.
I know, like, come on. I said he was a sleazy little father, but he was hot, so Brennan, a.k.a. Adam Crosdale.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's for you, Aaron. But I like your answer, Lindsay, because Arthur was gorgeous, too. But for a girl, Regina. Regina.
Yeah.
Ooh, saucy.
Mm-hmm. I'd probably have to go with August or Jefferson, though.
Yes!
Yeah. Give me that Bucky Barnes.
Tori also asks, which parts of Hook or Emma's backstory would you love to see more of? Which we've kind of briefly mentioned in some of our other answers. Yeah. I would definitely like to see if there is history with a Swan family, where she got that name. Mm-hmm. And obviously...
And why you decided to keep it?
Yeah.
Honestly, I want to see them giving her back. Because I'm just an asshole.
You are an asshole. God damn it.
And obviously jumping on the Hook's mom's bandwagon train. We want Hook's mom.
That's my answer. So you can go ahead.
Literally
good job.
Both my answers. So yes. You're welcome.
Yep.
Does anyone have something different?
I have.
There you go.
I want, you know, a bit more. I want to see a little bit more maybe with Hook and Liam sort of in between them, you know, being sold by the father and then appearing on that ship with the, what was he called? Captain Silver. And also, I want to kind of know what happened with Liam number two.
Yeah.
So I'd actually like to see some Mila adventures. I love character progression, and as it is noted in my monologue a few episodes ago, Mila really helped him to remember what kind of man he truly is. So I really like to see. I think that'd be fun to see because I feel like they'd have a good like banter going back and forth too. So sure. I'd like to see that.
I would like to see Mark Killian like in his pirate days on the jolly, you know, being badass because I do find it really hot. And I also want to see more of Emma like in her early days as a bail bonds person. I know I've already like seen it briefly, but I love it when people underestimate her and she just like fights back and says, "Surprise, bitch." You know, I do. I just love her so much. And I want to see more of that.
Yeah, I would love to see more. I would just like to see Mama Jones, or Mama Hook, whatever we're going to call her. I'd love to see Emma's time with the Swans. Just more Emma backstory in general.
Yeah.
I feel like we're just kind of living for scraps, because we know just tiny little bits and pieces about her childhood. So I'd really like to just learn more about Killian and Emma's childhoods, because we have nothing.
Man. Killian's mother. God damn it.
There was so much thirst for Mama Hook.
Mama Jones.
Mama Jones.
Please show your face. Please stand up.
Tori also asks, in real life, which colors do you wear the most? That's so easy for me. Black. Like my soul.
Funny enough, apparently, according to like all of my astrology books, Taurus looks good in blue and green, and that's mostly within my closet. So blue and green, plus the green also looks good with my fake red hair.
I mainly wear blue, red, and green, like not together, but separately. but yeah, they're like the three colors I have most of. And I always wear jeans, so that's just tops, really, like blue, red, and green.
I definitely do a lot of jewel tones, so I'm usually in the purple and blue family, yes. But also usually black, because it's thing.
I wear a lot of black and red.
Shocking.
Yeah, I wear a lot of neutrals. So a lot of navy, a lot of black, a lot of gray. And then like some like dark maroon. But yeah, that's about it.
I'm a lot of black and white because it goes with everything.
Fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All black, everything. But yeah, literally my entire wardrobe is black or dark purple or dark blue. Basically anything dark.
Tori also asked, if you were on death row for being criminally awesome and could have one final meal, what would it be?
Ooh, this is
horrible.
This is going
to be an hour-long answer.
This is so bad. I can't answer this.
I'm literally crying.
I'm like about to. This is like literally my worst nightmare. Like I honestly I'm passing this question, but it would be something with cheese and potatoes probably, or cheese and pasta. Cheese and potatoes. I would pick potatoes off of pasta. Cheese.
Live to eat. Don't eat to live.
Exactly. Oh, you know what? Shout out to Sassy Sazzles. I'm going to have some chicken parmesan. Or crab dip.
Crab dip!
I would want an assortment of food from Disney World. I'm talking churros, Mickey ice cream bars, some fish and chips from Epcot, some French pastries. Like, I just want an assortment of Disney World foods.
I would have chicken and waffles from Lolo's in Phoenix. Finished off with a slice of dulce de leche caramel cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory.
Nice.
Don't get me started on cheesecake. Love it.
I'm like just a typical British person, so for starters I think I'd just have like Yorkshire puddings with, with gravy.
Yes!
I think I'd have fish and chips, but I think I might actually specify that I want like fresh Whitby fish and chips. Yeah.
Yes.
You're
speaking
right,
my obviously. Language.
And then I think for dessert I'm having three courses, obviously. For dessert I'd have like sticky toffee pudding and custard. And I'm going to go a bit more American for my drink and have a pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah. There you go.
All of these things are really, really great. I would probably ask for some Alfredo from Olive Garden, oddly enough. Ooh. And finish off with like a tub of Dole Whip.
I love Dole Whip. Like
a bucket of Dole Whip. Like that would be it. Like if you just want to send me off to the next realm with just fucking Dole Whip, like I would be okay with that.
The rum spiced Dole Whip that you can get at Food and Wine Festival.
Oh,
just stop right now.
Oh fuck, I'm so hungry. See, this is a problem for me because I love food. Like, it's no joke. Like, you know that saying where it's like, oh, eat to live, but don't live to eat? Fuck that saying. I love to eat. I plan my, like, trips around places I want to eat. Like,
hey, I judge people.
I don't fuck around when it comes to food. So, literally. And I think, like, my plan would just be to, like, get so much food that, like, I just prolong until, like, they can't kill me. It's just, like, I'm not done yet. And I'm going to finish all of this food. Like, you can't take that from me. I got to savor this because it's my last meal. And I'm going multicultural as fuck. Like, I want pizza. I want fucking, like, fried rice, curry. I want, like, some, like, really good carnitas.
So I'm getting hungry, too.
So my favorite food is chicken. So I just want a big plate, a mountain of chicken. So if it's grilled chicken, fried chicken, chicken roast, Yorkshire puddings, chicken burrito, just give me a mountain of chicken and, you know.
You're speaking my language.
I'm just like, just give it me all. It's like, you know, I may die eating too much and I will be fine with that.
True.
A huge, juicy ass steak.
Steak. How do you like your steak?
Medium well.
Oh girl, come on.
Or perfect.
Or medium.
Medium's good.
I like medium. I like medium. Yeah.
I prefer medium rare, but
Yeah,
each their own.
Yeah, medium to medium rare. Yeah.
As long as it's not well done, you're fine.
Oh no, yeah, my brother works at a restaurant. He taught me better.
It's fair.
All right. One final question from Tori: which character on Once Upon a Time who has died would you want to have lunch with? And I can say this because technically she's dead, even though she's in the underworld. I'm going with Cruella.
Yeah.
Good one.
Get some gin, tell some stories, maybe play some like
she's hilarious
music from the 20s. Like, it would be awesome.
Nice.
Yes.
All right, I'm going with Robin.
Oh.
And then we probably go back to my place for dessert. You're welcome.
Good one.
I think Graham. I did actually miss Graham. Like, I really liked him the first season, especially when he first started sort of realizing who he was or whatever with the wolf and stuff. I just found that so funny, and I don't know. I miss Graham, so I think Graham.
I would also. Can we share that lunch, Jenna? Because that's who I wanted to have lunch with, was Graham.
Yes.
So with me, I just want to have lunch with Arthur, just stare in his eyes, and then...
You are on Arthur trip.
I'm just Liam Gallagher trash. No shame. At all.
Love it. Love it. Justine?
Fuck, I don't know. Because there's definitely characters I would want to have lunch with, but I can't think of any who have died. I don't know, maybe, like, I'm going to copy Jenna and go for Graham. Because he's just beautiful.
What about Mila?
No, yeah, I changed my answer. Mila. Mila. Fuck Graham.
I will be, thank you.
Oh, gosh.
I just want to talk to Mila so bad. And just be like, people love you and validate you and want you alive.
It wasn't and your fault.
Think that Rumpelstiltskin is like an asshole.
Yes.
Love it.
I'd say Merlin. I love Elliot.
Aww.
Yeah, love me some Elliot.
Neil, obviously. I can't even think myself see. probably Graham. Oh wait, no, you know what? Cruella. I'm stealing your answer. Fuck you, Cruella. She's a badass bitch. She's crazy.
Okay, Julie asks, I've always tried to explain to my grandmother about Once Upon a Time by saying, who is who? Who's the mother of who? How would you describe Once Upon a Time to her?
You don't.
Yeah, honestly. I really struggled with this question because I tried to explain the show to my boss last week, and I was like, well, it's like the daughter of Snow White and Prince Charming, and like, she was separated from them as a child by a curse done by the evil queen, and it takes her 28 years to go to this town. And it was like, he looked at me just like, what the fuck are you talking about? So basically I ended up saying, it's a show about a bunch of Disney characters and how they interact with each other in the real world. And he was like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Literally, I just said, I would just stop trying and tell her to shut up and look at Killian's face.
I've kind of written, like, I've put like a twist on fairy tales where the characters are in the modern world and the endings and stories we thought we knew are not quite as they seem.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, because you don't want to spoil it, do you? You don't want to spoil it.
No.
I was like, it's what happens after the stories we know and love. Everyone in the town is related to everyone else, or is a step or a cousin. We're just following this awesome family around while they kick ass.
That's good.
I've tried to explain the show unsuccessfully, so I have just given up on trying to explain it.
Gabby.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if they know fandom, I can just be like, it's basically Disney fanfiction with an OC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another good way to describe it.
But, like, I can't say that to, like, my mom, because she would have no idea what I was talking about.
Right.
I know my mom likes Jennifer Goodwin, and my mom used to work at Disneyland, and she was the Snow White face character.
Aww.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, yeah, so there's Jennifer Goodwin's in it, and she plays Snow White, and Snow White's really awesome, at least in the first season. And so Snow White has, like, a daughter. named Emma, and like Emma has to break a curse. And then my mom was like, oh, so you're like Emma, because I'm Snow White and you're my daughter. And I was like, I'll take it, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, good.
Yeah, but I mean, that's as well as I've been able to explain the show to someone.
Another question from Julie. Your favorite bro TP? Emma. So, yeah, Captain Charming.
I feel like we all are.
Captain Charming. Mm-hmm. With Captain Book as a close, very close second.
Yeah. Literally exactly my answer. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Same. That's basically my answer, but switched. Like, Captain Book is my main, but Captain Charming is, like, right there.
And I would have said Frozen Swan, but it's not a thing anymore.
I know.
Oh, don't remind me.
See, I've got that on my list. Like, just ones in general, even ones that aren't around now. I've definitely got Frozen Swan. Snow and Ruby, I loved them two together. And Captain Charming, obviously.
I feel like I don't even need to dignify this with a response. Like, you all know my answer.
Yeah, we know.
There is no, you know my answer.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I think we've all got the same answer, like, more or less. Like, either Captain Charming or Captain Book, so.
Yeah.
Gabby, how about you, Gabby?
I said Henry with either his moms.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
That's nice. Aww. I like your answer, Gabby. That's cute.
I try.
Another Sarah asks, not me, another one, how would you like the show to end?
Ooh.
I don't know. I just want everyone to be happy and maybe for Rumple to die.
Preferably Rumple is defeated.
Yeah. I just want, I want their Emma to not have to worry about saving everyone anymore. I want her to just be happy with her family and Storybrooke to just be a nice, peaceful place with no more crap going on. That's all I want. I want them to live happily ever after. Like, I want her story to have a happily ever after at the end.
Yeah. I think that's all any of us want, is just for Emma to have her happy ending.
I said, with everyone getting their happy ending, Emma and Killian have a kid with one on the way, Snowing, you're stronger than ever, Bill is an independent mom being a boss, Regina loves herself and realizes, just like RuPaul says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? And Gold is dead. Sorry, not sorry.
Yes.
I put, so for me, it's like I put like with finality, because for me, it's like one of the most frustrating things. Like, I've literally just finished watching Dexter, which I got really, really into, and I love it so much, but the ending was just so wishy-washy, and there was no finality to it that it almost ruined the whole thing. And it's like, I really don't want that to happen Once Upon a Time, because I love it so much. Like, I really want there to be like a legitimate ending, that not necessarily that everything ends, but that they set it up so it's following a certain path, you know. So I think that's what I put for mine. Like, I definitely want there to be a finality to it. I don't want it to be too open.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
Kimmy?
You guys are saying everything I want. I want that. I want Mr. Gold dead, and I want a CS wedding. I feel like that would be a beautiful final shot, is just, you know, intimating their happily ever after, just like this beautiful wide shot of everyone in the town at their wedding. I feel like would be a really nice way to just knock it all out. But I don't want that anytime soon. I want it for a while.
No. I would love a final episode to be like the lead up to the wedding, and then, you know, there's some crazy like stupid monster or something, and they finally defeat it, and then they still go through the wedding, and it feels like a Disney like happy ending. You know, I know it's like cliche or whatever, but I find a lot of like TV shows these days like trying to be creative and different. But I would love just a final episode, just to, like, they're happy now, you know, have the troubles ahead, but we're all going to be together, we're all going to be happy. Leave them be, please. The end.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really love when finales kind of parallel the pilot. So what I would love is for it to be Emma's birthday and they're all celebrating it at Granny's. And just to see Emma just surrounded by her family, her friends, people who love her and support her unconditionally, would just be, it would just take it full circle for me. And I would also just love it to be like, to have her like blow out the candles and have Killian be like, oh, did you get everything you wished for? And she's like, yeah, I did. And like, she like kind of guides his hand to like her stomach. She's like, we're going to get you more.
Oh, I'm dead.
Oh my god.
That is amazing. That is like,
right now, just being
I'm sorry. But the thing is, I can totally see them going that route. Like, that would be the perfect pilot parallel.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't even handle this right now.
Yeah. And then alternatively, I can't take credit for this. Someone, I saw it on Tumblr. I can't remember who it was. But I saw one thing where it was like people wanted, this person wanted it to be like Emma and Killian are telling their kids a story, so you're not really sure if all of this really happened or if it's just like a bedtime story for their kids.
Oh.
And then like they walk out, and then on the hallway you see like the storybook, you see like a little like toy yellow bug and like a little like figurine of Captain Hook or like a little ship in a bottle. I think that could be a really cool ending.
That would be, that would be amazing.
Yeah, one of those two, and I'd be really happy.
You hit me right in the
feels. Gabby. I said the show's never gonna end, and that's it.
Oh my god, I would love it if we were still doing this podcast when we were like in our 90s. The show's still going.
No, but guys, we don't want it to go like the way of Supernatural where it just needs to die.
It won't die.
But like I said, everything you guys said, I agreed, so I don't need to elaborate anymore.
I don't know how I would want Once Upon a Time to end. Like, I literally don't know. Happy? No, you know what? Yeah. Everything's a dream.
Oh, no.
No.
Don't fucking do that.
And everything's a dream, and Emma wakes up on her birthday, passed out on the couch, like
in her red dress.
Her dress from the pilot.
That is so depressing.
I hate myself. I'm just kidding. I take that back. I just like try to come up with the most angsty things, just to like, you know, angst it up. No, I don't know what I would want it to be. Although now I really want to write a fan fiction of her whole world being a dream now, but...
Stop it.
Oh my god, no. What if she woke up, like you said, after that dream, in that red dress, on her birthday, and then the next morning she goes out and about, and she suddenly starts seeing all these people out and about in the real world?
Oh my god, no, it's like Killian is like a bartender at like a bar that she goes to all the time.
Yes, bitch!
Or she sees like, Martina and Henry like walking across the street to school, and she's like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
Yes, I'm down. I actually like this idea a lot.
And then we can just start over again.
Yeah! Yay! We can do it. And then technically,
it'll be like a reverse Unbreakable.
Ooh, yes, that's very true. All
right. Sarah also asked, "Where would you like to see Killian go in character this season?"
Emma's basement.
What? Her sex dungeon. What?
Yes. I'm just leaving it at that. I can't really think of anywhere else I would want him to. He's kind of gone everywhere, if you really think about it. Been to Wonderland, been to Neverland.
He really has kind of been all over.
I feel like
he's
kind of.
He's a worldly man.
Yeah, I feel like he's definitely been to Agrabah.
Yeah. I totally would not be surprised if he was like, oh, BT Dubs, I've totally been there.
Well, because I've been rewatching season 5, and the flashback with Mila where he's talking about
the air that smells like spices, and the women are carried in jeweled chairs. So that does seem something very
Agrabah-y.
Agrabic.
Ooh, I like that.
That sounds better than Agrabah-y.
Agrabish.
Agrabish. Agrabosh. Agrabosh. Baklava. I don't know.
Baklava.
I had baklava for dinner. So.
Ooh, I love baklava.
But yeah, Emma's basement is the answer I'm sticking to.
I just thought that I want to see him go on the jolly and go sailing on adventures, looking sexy with the wind in his hair. That's all I want.
I kind of said like I have a feeling
that they're going to go to Agrabah. But if I could pick anywhere for them to go, I'd like them to come to Cardiff so that Jen and Colin can film here and then I can go and find them.
I can come visit. Yay!
And you'll, yeah. And you'll fly me over, right?
Yeah.
I would like him to go back to like New York or some like big city. It's not like plot related at all. I just want to see Killian like walking around downtown Boston or like downtown New York just trying to like figure shit out, but that's just, it has no like motive to the plot or storyline or anything like that.
I said Emma's house.
Yeah, that's the first place I want to see them go as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Specifically the bedroom.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, one final question from Sarah. What would you do if CS had their own spin-off show? Love life even more than I do now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like weep with joy?
I wouldn't say or do anything because I'd just be dead. That'd be it. Game over. Nice knowing you guys.
Can it be on HBO?
Yeah.
Or Stars?
Yeah, something like
or
that.
Or even definitely. Just in a later time slot. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else?
I mean, I'd be happy. But like yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff they could put in it, but I think that I do love, part of the thing I love about Captain Swan is how they kind of interact with all of the other characters as well. So, I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about it.
That was my answer, too. I was like, I mean, I'd die, but I like their interactions with her parents, with everything. You know what I mean? Mm. So, if we did a spinoff, they'd have to come to you. And so, at that point, it's really just the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's hard to make a spinoff with the two main characters. Like, spinoffs hardly ever work anyway. And spinoffs, it needs to be, like, with a beloved side character. You can't really have a spinoff where it's the main character. Because then it's just the show.
Yeah. I just need that one HBO special.
Yes.
Please.
Or even for them to, like, do a 2-hour episode and take advantage of the fact that they have a later time slot.
Yeah! That's what they do, like, in a lot of TV shows over here, like, sometimes. So I think, I don't know what ABC's like really, so I don't understand the network and everything, but I can think at least we should be able to have a bit more fun with that.
Can a sister get a saucy episode? That's all I want.
Saucy!
Exactly.
This is a question for Lindsay from Middle Mist Meadow. Is Lindsay from the north of England because she sounds a lot like it and I live there?
Oh. Hello. Hello there. So I also like want to know, like, Middle Mist Meadow, what do you define as the North? Because in the UK, like, the North is, like, people often argue over what is the North and what isn't. But I define myself as Northern. I live in West Yorkshire. I was born in a town called Huddersfield. And, yeah, I am very Northern.
Can I just jump in here and sad?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. We speak Northerner here.
Sorry.
Speak Northerner.
I was brought up in Lancashire, which is the north, Lindsay.
It is yes, the north. I agree.
I lived there until I was 18, and then I moved to Cardiff, and I've lost my accent, and I'm so sad.
Like, I feel like fake north.
My identity has been taken from me.
Okay, this is a question for JMO and Justine.
What?
Ooh. From Allison. So she says, Justine, in Born in Pain, followed by Joy, which is one of your fanfiction stories that you write, the story takes place in another decade. And JMO, in Love in the Time of Gods, you are using classic mythology. What research have you two done for your fix, and what inspired you to write them?
I'll give this one to Justine first.
So Born in Pain, followed by Joy is heavily based on the BBC show called The Midwife.
Yes.
Which is set in 1950s East End London, and is surprisingly historically accurate. So a lot of the plots, a lot of like the tools and things that are mentioned are historically accurate to the show. So a lot of it is just me kind of fact checking and being like, did they really do this? Or is this just like TV saying they did this? And then also my wonderful, wonderful beta is, A, she's, like, a mom of three, and she's studying to be a midwife. So, and I have no kids. I have no interest in being pregnant. I have no interest in birth and all of that, which is surprising because I write so many baby fics. But
true.
She's just kind of there to be like, yeah, like a nursing mom wouldn't do that. Like there's no way like a woman who's just given birth would do that. Or she'd be like, kids don't talk like that. Like just getting little things right and just making them sound accurate is important to me. And she's like grammar checker and like kid and new mother checker. So honestly, all shout outs to her. I love her so much. This fic would not be what it is without her. But yeah, that's pretty much the extent of my research. And God bless Google. God bless it.
In terms of Love in the Time of the Gods, I've always been a big Greek mythology fan ever since I started learning about it in the sixth grade. And over time, my favorite myth became the Hades and Persephone myth and how the seasons came about. And I was just like, how would that work with Captain Swan? And I just brought it out and I was like, okay, I think I'll give this a go. And I didn't think it was going to be as big as it turned out to be. I'm very grateful that it has, because it's actually my most read piece to date of anything I've written. And it is my absolute child. And I don't think this fic would be anywhere without my beta, our beloved Bianca. And not only that, but she also does make my banners for me. And I am so grateful to her. And then the other part of my creative team, as I like to call it, Julie Coco Hook 38, just
yes.
creates just the most beautiful artwork. And the fact that I can inspire her with my words, like, I'm in awe every day of her talent and of Bianca's. And this would be nowhere without the two of them. And yeah, I get really freaking emotional when I talk about those two and that story. So.
It's a beautiful story as well. I love it.
Thank you.
It's so good, Jenna.
Sorry, I didn't say anything. I loved Called the Midwife as well. So to read a fic about it in the CSM universe is brilliant. I love it so much.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so we have a slew of questions from our girl H.
Yay!
First one is, how did you all meet? So I have a couple connections with some of you. I met Rachel through a mutual friend of ours that works at Disney World. And as I said earlier in the show, I met Rachel when we were cosplaying as Once Upon a Time people at Disney World last year in September. And we instantly hit it off and started chatting after that experience. We actually watched Swan Song together and literally held hands sobbing our eyes out together. And so yeah, so it's been a fun year connecting with her and sort of developing this awesome friendship. And then I met Gabby and Jenna in Paris at Fairy Tales 4. And yes, it was super awesome. It was really the best weekend ever. I'm so glad that I had you guys there with me.
Yeah.
And then everyone else I met in a Facebook group when I asked them all to come do this with me. So, yeah.
But we'll hold hands and watch episodes together eventually, Sarah.
We will, yeah. In Vancouver.
Yeah, well, I met Sarah and Gabs at Fairy Tale, like Sarah just said. Lindsay, I've not met yet, but we are meeting next month.
Yes, we are.
So excited.
It's going to be documented. Look on the Instagram. We'll probably post a picture or two of us together.
Please do.
Yeah.
We should post some of the pictures from FT4 with us.
You should do throwback.
I will definitely do that. Yes, good idea.
Yeah. I think me and Lindsay should go for a nice romantic walk with the Captain Swan Pop figures.
Funko Pop.
Yes.
Yes.
Captain Pop.
Please do.
You can tell I'm tired. Yeah, Funko Pop, not Captain Pop.
It's legit. It's fine. You can call it Captain Pop.
Instagram adventures. Looking forward to it. Kim, I've not met. I wish I had.
We would be the short hair like twins.
We would. I know. And like, I hope we will meet one day.
Yes, and we'll have all of the pudding and all of the tea, and it'll be amazing.
Yes.
Disney World.
Oh.
Yeah. So obviously, I'm meeting Jen next month, and then next year, next October, I'm going to the New Jersey Con, so I'm meeting Sarah, Gabby, and Yay. Rachel as well. So Yay. As long as Jen is coming as well, obviously, but I've already met her by then, hopefully. So
well, we're both going to Storybook 3, so
we're going to Storybook 3 as well. So we'll, by then we'll be like BFFs for life, yo.
Yeah.
So
watch out, world.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun to meet everyone because, and I wish I could, no, not everyone, because I want to meet Kim and JMO and Justine as well. I wish I could win a lottery and just get us all together. It'd be perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, I do really hope one day we can just all meet up, like all of us.
2018 Disney World, hopefully. That is the dream.
Well, Kim, you've known JMO for years, right?
Yeah, I've known JMO for 10 years. God, wow. 10 years. Yeah, we met freshman year in college in our awesome. English 101 class. And then I think we took 102 together and then Shakespeare together. But just mutually bonded over the fact that I was in drumline all in high school. I was drumline captain and she was color guard captain. So we just kind of really bonded over those experiences and everything like that. So I've known JMO for 10 fucking years. Dear God, now I feel super old. But then met you ladies unbeknownst on Tumblr and Facebook and things like that, and now I think we're inseparable. So
yes, definitely.
That's what's really nice is that, I feel really old now all of a sudden. I just outed myself and how old I am and when I graduated high school. So there you go. I think that's how we all know each other. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
But now we can't imagine a world without each other anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes people listen to us talk about it on the internet.
Yeah. another question from H. Did you have a moment when you started fangirling about Once in Public?
I do.
You know, I think really hard. I don't know if it...
I wouldn't say
I
like
definitely do, but...
I can think of one specifically, and I know I've told this story before, and I think in our first episode. But the moment screamed on the street in Paris, I think it's like
moment, Sarah.
One of the first like public moments, I feel like.
That was my moment.
Yeah.
And that was the first time we met as well.
We saw Colin, Sean, and Liam drive by.
Yeah, we had that little moment with Colin outside, and then it just simultaneously made us all scream.
Yeah, we went around the corner of the building where I just started screaming. It was crazy.
We were like little teenagers jumping up and down as well.
No, I'm like so glad that like other people were not there to witness that, because man, that was embarrassing.
I'm so mad that no one else was there to witness it. I know. I wanted pictures and everything.
Someone asked me, they were listening to the first episode of the podcast, and they asked me, did you take pictures? And I was like, no, we should have took pictures. Like, what were we thinking?
Oh my god, I was more just like a deer caught in headlights. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What did that just happen? Us? Like...
When I was in Disneyland last weekend, they have the actual book and
yes, I've seen them.
The costumes.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were across the way. We were coming out of Mike and Sully, or no, we were coming out of the Doctor Strange preview, which used to be the Muppet Theater. And I saw them, and I screamed and bolted across the street. And my best friend and her husband were like, "The fuck are you doing?" And I'm like, "She's like it was the first time that I literally had like a moment in a really long time. So that's when I took those pictures and then posted them. And I was just like, "Oh my god, guys, look, it's like that." And my friend was like, "What are you talking about?" And like, I couldn't talk in coherent sentences. I was like, "Michelle, it's the book, Michelle, it's the book." And then look, it's Snow's wedding dress, and oh my god. And she's like, "Okay, no more sugar for you."
Yeah, I mean, like, at Storybrooke UK earlier this year, I was walking to Bex's panel, and Sean Maguire just walked past me, and I was like, oh, hello, and he was like, oh, hi, how are you, and everything, and then once he walked away, I, like, full-on freaked out, and I was like, ah, I'm having a moment, and then, like, the hotel staff, like, were full-on laughing at me, like, belly laughing at me, because I was, like, full-on freaking out about it, so I wasn't expecting it, so I was like, ah.
At least you kept it cool in the moment.
He had walked away. But yeah, so that was like kind of a public thing because non like Wands fans were like laughing at me, which is pretty embarrassing. Oh well.
Pretty sure everyone at my job is sick and tired of me talking about shit. They know how obsessed I am with it. It's ridiculous. And there were times like on my breaks at work, like I work at a restaurant, it's called Jason's Deli. And so I usually work a lot of doubles. And so on my breaks, I'll be looking at, you know, Tumblr and Twitter and getting caught up. And there were times when I would watch sneak peeks, like say like the Nimoy sneak peek with the ring or, something like that. And I would just gasp audibly and it would be just quiet. And I have to make sure that no one around me is looking at me like I'm fucking freaking out or something.
Okay. So, I don't know if this counts as in public, but I remember the night when Entertainment Weekly released the first kiss, the Neverland kiss photos.
Oh, shit.
And that was a great day in the fandom. That was honestly, like, the best night on Tumblr. And I screeched. And I was in my dorm room, which I didn't share with anyone, so I was like, I completely forgot how thin the walls are, so I just full-on fangirl screeched and was, like, freaking out, and one of my RAs, like, came and knocked on my door, and he's like, are you okay? Like, what's going on here? And so I had to explain to him, I was like, no, two people who I really like on this show kissed, and I'm really excited about it. He was not amused.
I've had it happen a few times actually where I've been in the car and I've been scrolling through stuff and I see like a sneak peek or a picture and I like and I've scared my whoever was driving, I can't remember, but I scared the shit out of them and they like swerve like, oh my god, what is it? And I'm like, oh god, I'm sorry, it's just Captain Swan. Whoops. My bad.
Captain Swan causing car accidents.
Causing accidents. And, yeah. Oopsies.
Okay, well, going along the same lines of that, H also asked, are you fangirling in secret or full outgoing fangirls?
I think I'm a bit of both. So, you know, my parents, my friends, like people who know me well know I'm like ridiculously obsessed. You know, like my dad knows I do the podcast. He's listened to a couple of episodes. They know that I go to conventions and all that kind of stuff, but the people at work don't know, but actually I think I have brought it up in conversation a few times because I just couldn't not. It was like I had to bring it up a little bit, but I don't think they quite know how obsessed I am, so yeah. But I am very obsessive, like I just accepted that, that's just who I am.
I'm totally out of the fangirl closet. I try really hard to separate my fandom life from mundane life, but someday I hope I won't have to do that. But you'll almost always find me wearing a nerd shirt, which means it's an open invitation to come up to me and talk to me about that shirt in public. Like, that's like my rule. Like, if you're wearing a nerd shirt and you're not prepared to talk about that show with somebody, don't wear that shirt in public. Don't do it. So yeah, I would say that I am definitely a full outgoing fangirl.
Yeah, I'm definitely a bit of both. I do often get like very emotional about stuff. Like I've seen like, as I said, like sometimes at work, I do like if it's a quiet day at work, I do check social media quite a bit. So if like a scene comes on, I get like quite emotional, and everyone's like, "Oh, why are you emotional?" Like, "Oh, just this one, just this TV show," and then obviously that starts a conversation. But obviously, I don't basically walk around where it's tied on my forehead, like was a time and a place for it, but we know what work you shouldn't really do about anyway. Let's be honest. But as time's gone on, I've been a lot more open about it. Initially, I did used to, like, be very secretive on my Facebook and stuff. I didn't really post anything about it. Whereas now I'm a lot more open to talk about it. And you know what? Why hide what makes you happy? You should celebrate what makes you happy.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Once upon a time makes me happy, so I'm going to talk about it.
I'm half and half. I have two Facebook accounts, one for personal, one for fandom. But if most people know that I like it, the show, they don't know how obsessed I am with it, but if you ask me, I'll tell you, and judging by your response, I'll get more into it. So if you like look at me like I'm crazy, then I'm not going to elaborate. Right. I say that for the fandom group.
I mean, I feel like since I have two once tattoos, there's no turning back. Like there's no hiding it. No hiding it at this point. It's out there.
Yeah.
It's inked on my body forever.
I want a tattoo with you.
I do.
Okay, next question from H. What made each and every one of you join the fandom? And then her part B to that is what made you guys start this podcast, which we already talked about, so we don't have to re-answer that one. But yeah, what made you guys join the fandom? I have been tweeting about the show since it started, but that was really all I was doing. And they were just kind of occasional tweets because I was working at Disney World at the time, so I couldn't always watch the episode live. It was the season 3 finale where I finally started like getting on Tumblr and reblogging things because I wanted to like reblog all the GIFs of the dance scene. And that was also the first time I started like actively searching for spoilers. So I would say that was really the first time I committed to being in the fandom. Like I had been a little bit into season 2 like once Hook came on the show, but it was the season 3 finale that really like, okay, this is going to be my life. I'm going to be on Tumblr every day looking at stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I binge-watched Once Upon a Time, and I've got, like I said, a very obsessive personality, so I just, you know, got obsessed with it, as I do. And then, I don't know, just obviously being in the fandom just means you can share that obsession and meet other people who like it, and I got into, like, Facebook mainly, and I was sort of became an admin on one of the Facebook groups there and started up another Facebook group myself. And then just decided to go to the convention, which was probably like in the Fairy Tale 4 convention, which was probably like the best decision I've ever made. Because I met all you guys and I got like more into the Captain Swan fandom as well. Yeah, it's been crazy, a crazy ride, but it's been great. Like, I love it. It's like the first time I've really got into a fandom, and just being able to like share something you're so obsessed with and passionate about is just great. So, yeah.
That was very eloquent. I don't know if I can follow that. Was it?
I always feel like I'm rambling.
No, you're not. Sure. No, I mean, it's exactly right. It's that, you know, I was part of fandom before in the early 2000s, and that was forever and a day ago. And it was really, I was looking for that sense of community because I was so far away from everyone and everything that I had known that it was really nice that I could get on that community and we could fangirl about it. And then, which led me to getting into other fandoms again and, you know, actually being vocal in those communities, which it's really nice that, you know, especially about our fandom, the CS fandom, is that, we really do try to lift each other up a lot, which is really nice. And so, you know, I just got into it for that sense of community, and it was the first time. This is the first time I've really been active in fandom since the early 2000s. So, yeah, there you go. Now I feel like I'm rambling.
No, at all. I mean, I've always like tweeted about it and posted about the show from like since like day two. I watched it in day two, basically, but I didn't identify myself as fully in the fandom until like season 3 when the episode with Zelina cursing Killian's lips, and I was like, okay, right, I'm gonna get involved in this, I'm gonna get on Tumblr. You know, I went full on, but I still didn't really like fully feel like full part of the fandom until this podcast came along, and it's like, okay, I now have something to contribute to the fandom, and you know the feedback they've got from everyone is reflected that. So I do feel like myself, like I'm actually part of it now, like officially.
Oh. For me, after season 3 finale, that kiss, that was it. I was like, I can't be the only person that actually that loves this couple. So I went to Facebook and I typed in Once Upon a Time, and all these groups popped up. I joined them and I've been sucked in. And this is my first fandom ever.
Aww.
So I'm like, how did I never do this before? Like with Lost? Aww. I'd have been so crazy with Lost.
Like, you could have joined my Jate.
I know.
Jate's Fate.
Just the concept of the show was, when it was being promoted, just hooked me from the very beginning because of how much I love Disney and fairy tales and everything. But I wasn't really immersed into the online fandom until about season 4, when my friend finally convinced me to get Tumblr. And yeah, my life hasn't been the same these past 2 years. Let's just say that.
I joined the fandom pretty much as soon as I started watching, after that fateful day where I was procrastinating on homework and didn't want to do it, so I decided to watch all the episodes of season 2 that were up on Hulu, and from then on, my ass was sold.
I've mentioned it before, but I was at a Vampire Diaries convention, and they had little promo cards out for this convention that they were having in Orlando, which is close to me. And it was a Once Upon a Time one, and David Anders was going to be there, and I know David Anders from all of his other stuff, and he's a babe. Love David. So I was like, they're like, just watch it. You have 2.5 weeks. Catch up. Come to the convention. You can do it. We'll have a fun weekend. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll watch the show. Best decision I've ever made.
So that's all the time we have for today for the Q&A. We will wrap up the rest of it next week. Let's move on to some recs. J-Mo, do you want to kick things off?
Sure. For the first time in a long time, I'm doing a fan video. It's called Killian and Emma, This I Promise You, and in parentheses it says 415 because it's kind of based. Like the very first thing you see is the scene, Don't You Know Emma Is You scene. But it harkens back to a lot of previous scenes about their relationship and how it builds up. It's to the tune of This I Promise You.
Is this like NSYNC's This I Promise You?
It's NSYNC's This I Promise You, but it's sung in a country way, and it makes me fucking cry. I'm not even kidding you. When the first thing you hear is the first part of the lyric, if you know the song, then you're like, holy shit, this is totally them.
But it's a cover song, right? Or is it?
It's covered, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just, it's by Never Giving Up, and just, I don't want to sing like Jenna did, because I probably embarrassed the hell out of myself.
Like I did.
It's just so beautiful. It's only like maybe like 3 minutes long, but it's absolutely phenomenal. You will cry too.
Okay, so I come prepared with a fanfic this week. It's from Mags on Tumblr. I don't know if she's got a fanfiction page or not. Which is First Beanstalk, and I feel like you all are aware that I definitely need some fluffy happy in my life. And so it's just super cute. There are small little ones that come in and adorable, and anyways, fluffy one shot. Fluffy one shot for you.
Yay.
Lindsay?
So I've got a fanfiction. It's an ongoing one. It's called Call Me by Mayquitter. Basically, Emma loses her phone after a chase, but then she finds a phone in a cafe and she really needs to call for help, so she takes the phone. It turns out that it's Killian's phone, but he's just gone on a plane to Ireland. It's just that kind of thing. It's pretty good. It's 12 chapters so far, so.
That's cute.
Okay, so I did not have a rec until this beautiful, horrible, painful thing popped up on my dash this morning.
Typical.
For all my Outlander people, Killian's wench did a gift set, and she took the quote that Jamie tells Claire at the end of 2:13, yeah. Right, Gabby?
I think so. Season 2
finale.
There you go.
Blood of my blood and bone of my bones, like the whole like. Y'all know which quote I'm talking about, okay? And she put that over gift sets of Killian and Emma, and it's so beautiful and so painful, and I lost my shit when I saw it. And
tearing up, crying.
It's so pretty. It's so pretty. So, yeah. That's mine.
Justine?
So, I have an art rec. I know I've had them a lot these past couple episodes. But it's really super cute. It's by Hook and Star Ink on Tumblr.
I know which one you're talking about.
It's so cute. It's Killian and Emma, and they're dressed as Wesley and Buttercup from The Princess Bride, and they're kissing in front of this window.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's really amazing. I think that might be my new phone case if they put it on Redbubble.
Oh my god. Link me immediately.
So, I need to see this.
But it's so cute.
I did a fan video, of course. It's OET Crack. OUAT Crack. Captain Swan, number 14.
They're so cute.
By Indigo Bex. It's really funny. It's the last couple episodes, I think, and then, you know, other seasons.
For all of my Lucifer watchers, there's a lot of Lucifer and Chloe dub over, and it's just fantastic.
Yes.
Jenna?
All right, so I've got a fan video recommendation. It's Killian and Emma. In brackets, Captain Swan, I Knew I Loved You, and I've scribbled off the name. Okay, and that's by Susan Holley, H-O-L-L-E. And yeah, it's just kind of fluffy and cute, and it just gave me all the feels. So yeah, I would check that out.
Marshmallow fluff is the shit. Nutter flutter sandwiches is
where I don't have one. But it's because I've spent all week trying to edit our Q&A.
And it's totally
understandable.
Fine.
Yeah. It's
so
fine.
I haven't had time for any fun. So
So sorry.
But yeah, I will look at all these wrecks and try to have some fluffiness come into my life. So yeah.
As you're putting
don't look
together.
At mine then.
Yeah. Okay, everyone's but Rachel's.
Mine's funny.
I love crack
yours
videos,
is hilarious.
So yeah.
Cracks is the shit.
Yes.
I love cracks.
Yeah.
I like crack too.
A Florida woman declares her love for crack.
She's for real, people. She's for real.
Okay, so that about wraps it up for this week. Next week we'll be back with our discussion on the Killian episode that is going to air tonight, and we will also finish up our Q&A. So we will see you next week. Enjoy the episode tonight. Bye.
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 Bye.